Let's turn again tonight to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. As you know, I'm working on my commentary on this blessed book of Holy Scripture portraying the salvation of God's elect by the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, them coming to the possession of the land of Canaan by the hand of God. And here in Exodus 3, verse 19, when the Lord God sent Moses to deliver Israel out of the land of Egypt, he said, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go." The Lord God of the Hebrews sent Moses to Pharaoh, determined to harden Pharaoh's heart. God was determined to harden Pharaoh's heart. Yes, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And the Scripture declares plainly that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart repeatedly so that he might perform wonders in Egypt, by which he would manifestly display both to the Egyptians and to the children of Israel and to the nations around Egypt that God put a difference between his people and all other people. God distinguishes his elect from all other people. He distinguishes them in sovereign election. He distinguishes them in redemption. He distinguishes them, calling them by his grace. And he distinguishes them, separating them from others, using all the events of time to do so. So that the very earth, which was subject to ruin and destruction because of the sin of our father Adam, that very earth itself is made always to help God's people to the Redeemer. We don't half believe that. We don't half believe that. Read the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, and you'll see that the earth opens up to help the woman. The earth opens up to help the woman. God Almighty so rules the universe that he constantly performs wonders in this world, in all the affairs of providence, to bring his elect to life and faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lord God here determined to perform his wonders in the land of Egypt. And in order to do that, he hardens Pharaoh's heart, and hardens Pharaoh's heart, and hardens Pharaoh's heart, and hardens Pharaoh's heart. He said, "Pharaoh will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand, until I have performed my wonders in the land of Egypt. Then he'll let you go. Then he'll let you go." Now, this is my subject tonight. Wonders in the land of Ham. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 105. We're going to look at some Scripture together. Psalm 105. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 9, that Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, are set before us distinctly. Ham was cursed by Noah, cursed by God, to be servant of servant to Shem and Japheth. Servant of servants to God's elect, both among the Jews and among the Gentiles. So that Ham's purpose for existence, Are you listening? Ham represents all the reprobate of this world. All of them. All the reprobate of this world. Ham exists for just one reason. To be servant to God's elect, to help you and me toward glory, to help God's elect toward heaven, to help God's elect forever. Ham exists only for that purpose. Now here in Psalm 105, the scripture tells us plainly that the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt is that which God accomplished performing His wonders in the land of Ham. Look at verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, in the land of that cursed people, the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly, and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their hearts to hate his people. He turned their heart to hate his people. God, the Lord, Jehovah, turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Wonders in the land of Ham. Oh, God, teach us to read our newspapers every day and to observe the affairs of this world every hour as works of our God performing wonders in the land of Ham for us. I just caught your eye, Daniel. How God has arranged things in this world to cause you to hear the gospel. Amazing. How God has arranged things and worked things by the hands of godless, reprobate, wicked men so that you hear the gospel of His grace and believe on His Son. God is performing wonders in the land of Ham all the time. That's all He does is wonderful things. That's all He does. All His providence, wonders in the land of Ham. This is held before us by Moses, Nehemiah, David, Jeremiah, through the book of the Psalms, and in the book of Acts. It's held before us as a subject of constant, unceasing praise. Don't forget, God performed wonders in the land of Ham. God showed us wonders in the land of Ham. God showed us wonders in the land of Ham. Over and over again, we're told to remember this, that we might give praise to His name, and that we might be encouraged to walk before Him with confidence, with faith, and with good hope of things everlasting. These wonders in the land of Ham. Look back at our text in Exodus 3, verse 19 and 20 again. The Lord said to Moses, I am sure, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. He was sure of it because God had ordered it from eternity. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. No hand could bow the heart of Pharaoh. No hand could bend the will of that obstinate king of Egypt, except one, the omnipotent hand of the omnipotent God. In fact, the opening words of verse 19 might be translated this way. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go except by a mighty hand. And that seems to be the best translation if you read it in connection with the next line. The Lord God says, He doesn't say, but I will stretch out my hand. He says, and I will stretch out my hand. Pharaoh was raised up by God set on a throne in Egypt by God, exalted to power by God, over the children of Israel by God, and his heart turned to hate the children of Israel by God, and he dealt subtly with the children of Israel by God, and he did this because God was determined to harden Pharaoh's heart and show in Pharaoh God always has his way. God always saves his people. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God Almighty was determined from eternity to use this man Pharaoh to show his power upon him in the deliverance of his people. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go except by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Now may God the Holy Ghost be our teacher. In a few weeks, the weeks ahead, in our Bible classes, Lindsay is going to be dealing with these wonders God performed in Egypt. He'll be dealing with them through chapter 7, 8, and 9 in the book of Exodus. But I want us to look at these 10 plagues tonight and see some things in them. These 10 plagues, wonders God performed in the land of Ham. Plagues upon Egypt, but God calls them wonders. The psalmist calls them wonders performed for us, performed upon the Egyptians, performed upon the people of Egypt, performed upon Pharaoh, but performed for us, for our people. Now these plagues are held before us in the book of Revelation, chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, and 11, as things which typified the wonders of God in the land of Ham throughout the ages. Things by which God brings judgment upon the reprobate and displays his distinguishing grace upon his elect. As our mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus, goes forth through the ages of time in all the world, conquering and to conquer. He rides upon the stallion of a mighty conqueror through all the ages of time, in all history, always conquering and to conquer. Never hindered, never halted, never made to pause, never defeated. Always conquering and to conquer, he rides forth in the saving of his elect. So, Pastor, you must see things differently than I see them. I hope not. I'm not talking about what you read with your natural eye in the newspaper. I'm not talking about what you hear with your natural ear by the reports of men. I'm talking about understanding God and his ways in this world. Brother Scott Richardson, years ago, made this statement. You've seen it in our bulletin a few times. I'll put it back in there soon, Lord willing. He said, if we had the power of God, we would change everything. Had we the wisdom of God, we would change nothing. Have you got that? Had we the power of God, you and I would mess everything up. We'd change everything. Everything. Had we the wisdom of God, we wouldn't change anything. This caught Bill's eye. If I had the power to do so, I would change what your wife's been going through for so long. If I had the power to do it, I'd change it. I'd change it right now. But thank God I don't have the power. He who has the wisdom to do so, and the power to do so, has ordered things just as they are, performing wonders in the land of Ham. And I don't have to see how God brings deliverance to any of his chosen. I don't have to see God accomplish the work for any of his chosen to believe him. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Let's see his wonders. These typical pictures of God's deliverance of his people, by which the Lord Jesus brings his elect to bow to his feet and ultimately will bring all his foes to his footstool. These 10 Egypts God performed in, or these 10 wonders God performed in Egypt, they came in succession, one after the other, with brief space between them, each time giving Pharaoh and the Egyptians space for repentance. But they refused to repent. And the Lord God hardened Pharaoh's heart with more severe judgments following. You see, the fact is, judgment never brings repentance. It just doesn't do it. You see somebody get sick, well, boy, that'll do it. No. You go to the funeral home and you see a woman standing beside her husband's casket, and God's taken him, and she's so brokenhearted, and she starts to express some religious thoughts, and she starts to go to church for a little while. Oh, looks like the Lord's done something for her now. No, judgment doesn't do it. Doesn't want to. Children lose their parents in an accident, lose them both all of a sudden, and the children, rebel kids, all of a sudden get a little religion and start to act different. They cry, and they're all upset. Oh, how they change. No, judgment won't do it. Judgment won't do it. When folks are cast into hell, they still won't repent. Read the book of God. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. That's one reason you won't find a faithful preacher chasing ambulances. Lawyers and hiring preachers do, not faithful men. Judgment doesn't bring repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. God wrought wonders in the land of Ham. Judgment after judgment after judgment upon those reprobate people. And they hardened their hearts time and time and time again. 10 times we see it. The first wonder God performed in Egypt, in chapter 7, look at it, was turning the waters of the Nile River into blood and death. Look at verse 17, chapter 7. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. I can't help pointing out the fact that the first wonder wrought by Moses was turning water into blood. He turned water. Water. That's the essential thing of life. He turns it into blood, turns it into death. Our Lord's first miracle, he turned water into wine. You see, everything in the law, just like the waters of the Nile River were turned into blood, is made a source of condemnation and death to all men because of sin. It is called a ministration of death in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Everything in the law, everything touched by the rod of Moses, everything that Moses handles is a condemnation to all men because of sin. But everything in the gospel is brought, it brings forth life and vitality and liberty. That which is touched by the rod of Moses is smitten with death. Everything's a curse under the law. But that which is touched by the hand of Christ is made to live. The Lord Jesus Christ makes everything a blessing. He puts his blessing upon everything. He sanctifies everything so that he commands us by the wise man to enjoy the wife of youth and to go and rejoice because God accepts your works. God Almighty
in His grace. In His matchless free grace in His Son, accepts us in the totality of our beings, blessing us with His grace and making His grace to bless everything touching our lives. Look at chapter 8 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8. The second plague in Egypt was that of frogs. We'll just look at verses 5 and 6. You can read the whole thing later, but in Exodus 8, verses 5 and 6, the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. There was a striking progression in these plagues that God sent upon Egypt. The first was remote and distant. It wasn't right next door. It was confined to the rivers and to the water. But this second plague is such that the plague came much closer to each person. Frogs came into their houses. Frogs came into their bedchambers. The psalmist says in Psalm 105, verse 30, their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. So that the frogs were everywhere. Everywhere. When men hardened their hearts and refused to hear God, warning them with judgment after judgment, warning them with billow and wave after wave of judgment constantly set before them, and they harden their hearts, God sends greater judgment, greater darkness, and greater hardness. Third, look at Exodus 8:60. God sent lice to cover the Egyptians, so that all the dust of the land was turned into lice. God forgive me. When I read what we're about to read right now, I immediately start to think there's got to be some kind of a way to say this differently. Surely God didn't turn every speck of dust in Egypt into lice. Let's see. Exodus 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Moses stretched out his hand, or Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. Now watch this. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Oh, what a horrible, disgusting, filthy plague. Other plagues were on water and property. Here's a plague that comes directly upon every man in the land. Every woman, every little boy, every little girl, every animal in the land covered with lice. The sons of Ham were under the curse of God. And Pharaoh's magicians were now stumped. They had imitated other wonders that the Lord performed, but this they couldn't even pretend to imitate. They were compelled to confess something that Pharaoh wouldn't hear, but they said, Pharaoh's magicians said, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. Nobody could do this but God. But still, no change was wrought in Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not even to the voice of his old magicians, as the Lord had said. Verse 19. Now look at verse 20, Exodus 8:20. The Lord sends swarms of flies. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go,
Behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. Flies everywhere. Flies filling every part of the land. Flies filling every house, every cupboard. Flies so thoroughly covering the land that the ground is covered with the stinking, dirty flies. What a stench the land must have been. But those flies, Pharaoh looked at and was apparently affected. He finally gets the message. Not really. His heart was unchanged. But in order to get some relief from the torment, he consented to let Israel go. And then as soon as the torment was over, he hardened his heart and refused to let Israel go, we're told in verse 32. Flies were everywhere, but that's not exactly right. That's not exactly right. You read these chapters, chapter 7 through chapter 9. Actually, get over chapter 10. And you find that there was always an exception. Flies were everywhere except in the land of Goshen. Everywhere else in Egypt, except where the Israelites lived. Flies were everywhere. You can't believe that unless you believe this book. Flies were everywhere, but there wasn't any to be found in the land of Goshen. None there. The Lord God of the Hebrews thereby made an open, miraculous display of discriminating grace, mercy, and love. He put an invisible but a very clearly obvious net over the land of Goshen. And while it plagued the land of Ham, let's say this whole building here, Merle, this is the land of Egypt. And right here, this pulpit, this is the land of Goshen. God just put a net over this thing here, and it flies everywhere else. But no flies here. No flies here. How can that be? How can that be? God Almighty graciously, constantly preserves His own. He performs wonders for us. Wonders for us. Look at verse 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. He said, Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, I'm going to send swarms of flies everywhere except in Goshen. And my people won't need a fly swatter anywhere in the land. And I'm going to do it tomorrow. Not day after tomorrow, not tonight, not 3 days from tomorrow, this thing coming to pass. How wondrously God protected and blessed the children of Israel. How wonderfully God protects and blesses His elect in this world. Every day is the witness of God's hand, of God's promise, of God's purpose, of God's goodness to His elect. Fifth. The fifth plague in the land of Ham, the fifth wonder in Egypt, was even more severe and terrifying. Because Pharaoh still hardened his heart and refused to let Israel go, at an appointed time, the Lord God sent pestilence. Pestilence upon all the cattle of the Egyptians, identifying it as the work of His own hand in an undeniable way. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. He again makes an obvious display of distinguishing grace toward His people. Not one calf, not one lamb in all the flocks and herds of the Hebrews was found dead. Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, and upon the horses, and upon the asses, upon the camels, and upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in the, that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Oh, children of God, how we ought to rejoice in God's constant discriminating grace. Turn to the 91st Psalm. Let's read it together. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Watch this. Watch this. The arrow, the pestilence, the darkness, the destruction, it shall not come nigh thee. What's that mean? Brother Don, you surely can't believe that's talking about those things in a physical way. You've been sick, you've been in hospital, you know what that is? Oh, it hadn't touched me. It hadn't touched me. It brings some pain to this body, brings some weakness to this body. It hadn't touched me. Oh, no. Nothing harmful has ever touched me. And never can. You see, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when God Almighty has finished with all things in this world for me, these shall be just instruments in His hand by which He brings me at last to glory. Look at verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For this shall everyone that is godly pray. Pray for God ever to hide you under the shadow of His wings. As the earth bore parts in the curse, I repeat what I said in the beginning, God causes the earth to have a hand in the deliverance of His elect. Got to hurry. Look at chapter 9 of Exodus, verse 8. The sixth plague upon the Egyptians, the sixth wonder performed by God in the land of Ham, was boils breaking forth with blains upon man and beast. Exodus 9, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you two handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt,
and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Throughout the land, universal epidemic broke out. It's things that had never been heard of before. Their bodies were covered with running sores. Who can imagine such a thing? But there it stands. And it's the work of God. Some of you here may yet be without God and without life and without faith in your hearts hardened against God. Oh, what a dreadful, horrible thing it is to have the God, the Lord God of the Hebrews, for your enemy. Hold your hands here and turn to Deuteronomy 28. I want you to read this with me. Deuteronomy 28. You look at a man who's worked hard and he's gotten a lot. Man, he's really achieved things. He's wealthy and he's prosperous. He looked like he didn't have a chance. Looked like if there's anybody going to wind up spending his life either in prison or on welfare or just bumming around, it'd be him. But he worked hard and he's with diligence acquired much. And you look at him and he's got his children all around him, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. Not one of them ever caused him any trouble. All of them get along just fine. And folks look at him and say, boy, he's so blessed of God. Not hardly. Not hardly. Not if he doesn't know God, he's not. Not if he's under the wrath of God, he's not. Those things are but like taking a calf and putting him in a stall and shoving feed at him 24 hours a day. Just keep shoving the feed at him. Shoving the feed at him. Shoving the feed. Those other cattle out there, if they knew what it was to envy, they'd envy that calf. He's shoving the feed at him. But there's a reason for it. You're getting ready to kill it. You're getting ready to kill it. Listen to this. Listen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. If you refuse to trust the Son of God, that's the only way you keep His commandments. If you refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, these curses shall come upon you. They're going to chase you down. They're going to chase you down and overtake you. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Verse 22. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with extreme burning, just like he did the Egyptians. And with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness
and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. All right, back here in Exodus. The seventh wonder God performed in Egypt. The seventh plague he accomplished in the land of Ham was the thunder, lightning, rain, and hail described in chapter 9, verses 13 through 35. Let's start at verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, and that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Now watch verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Oh, what distinguishing grace. And there were some among the Egyptians, we're told in verse 20, who feared the word of the Lord. They heard what was going on. They heard judgments coming. And they must have heard something about mercy and grace, because they went out and gathered their sheep and their cattle indoors. They brought them in. Just a few. And not one of them died. They believed God, and they too obtained the blessing of God upon Israel in the land of Goshen. When Israel went out of Egypt, you remember they went out a mixed multitude. That is, some of the Egyptians were converted, picturing God's elect scattered among the nations of the world. You and me too. Christ, he said he would give for light to the Gentiles, because Gentiles as well as Jews are saved by his free grace in Christ the Lord. The eighth plague was a plague of locusts covering the land, devouring all the vegetation of the land. Look at chapter 10. And the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Moses, the man of God, was commanded to tell Israel that the Lord God had hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he might openly display before Israel and Egypt his distinct choice of Israel, his special care for his own, his mighty grace, his mighty power in saving his own. And he says, be sure to tell your boys. Moses, tell your sons. Tell your sons and daughters. Tell them again. This is what God does in all the world. He performs wonders in the land of Ham for the saving of his elect. Then the Lord brought darkness, such darkness as could be felt for 3 days. For 3 days, no human being
in the land of Egypt saw another human being. That's darkness. That's darkness. Oh, so dark. Not a star in the sky. Not a light in the heavens. Darkness, such that a man felt it with fear. Such is the darkness of fallen humanity. Such is the darkness of man's heart, of his soul, of his mind by nature. So dark that no man can see another. Not one. But in the land of Goshen, there was nothing but light. For God's elect, nothing but light. They didn't feel any darkness. They didn't see any darkness, just light. The light of grace, the light of day, and the light of life. And then, in chapter 12, there came another plague. Another great wonder in the land of Egypt. It came to pass, verse 29, that at midnight, the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. There was not a house where there was not one dead. Now, if you go back and read, beginning at chapter 7, and get through this 10th chapter, in all the other plagues, they all took place on the Egyptians. But in the land of Goshen, the judgment didn't come. But here, the land of Goshen is not accepted. The firstborn in every house in the land of Egypt, Goshen included, died that night. They all died under the hand of divine judgment according to the Word of God. Either each one personally, the firstborn of every house, or in a lamb, a substitute, who bore death and judgment and wrath in the stead of the firstborn. The firstling of the flock died that night for the firstborn of all the chosen people of God. So Christ our Passover, the firstborn, the firstling of the flock, bore all the wrath of God in our room and in our stead. And every one of those in the land of Egypt where there was blood sprinkled, where judgment was satisfied, where God passed by with his eye on the blood, every one of them, every blessed one of them, every one of them, no matter what he had been, no matter where he had been, no matter what he had done, every one of them came out of Egypt by the price of blood atonement and the power of God's outstretched hand, because our God performs wonders in the land of Ham. Oh, God, give us grace. Give us grace, give us grace to observe your doings and give praise to you for everything. Oh, Lord God, this moment, this hour, not one of us here would change anything. We recognize how good, how gracious, how wise, how kind, how loving, how beneficial you are to our souls. But before the night's over, tomorrow, our carnal minds and our foolish hearts and our depraved souls will again dismiss your wonders. And for that too, we ask your forgiveness. And we ask our God for grace, that we may indeed walk through this world believing God and believing you, seeing your wonders every day in the land of heaven. Amen. Lindsay, let's sing a hymn.
Take your handbook and turn to number 10. Number 10, O God, our help in ages past.